First Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. We've been looking at the term growing up spiritually. And something we have been able to see in the last couple of weeks is that spiritual growth is built on the new birth. Because it's built on the information that we have about the new birth. That's very clear. So I want to run through some references very quickly, not much. But look at the new birth. I want to examine the new birth. What the new birth is again. And we'll just run through because the information concerning the new birth, I want to see how prevalent is it in the epistles. Did anybody write in the epistles without that information concerning the new birth? Did anybody do that? Now, we know in the four Gospels, for example, in the four Gospels, John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to those of them who believe in his name. So that already tells you about the son of God, technon, meaning the seed, one who proceeds from you. In John 3:3, Jesus said, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In verse 5, except a man is born of water, which is the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh, Jesus said to Nicodemus, is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, his Spirit. So he talks about being born of the Spirit. Meanwhile, the Old Testament did prophesy, as usual, about the new birth. Let's just check that too. Psalm 102. Verse 18. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people that shall be created shall praise the Lord. He says the generation to come. Now, funnily, and this is interesting, the only place where we do not have that kind of information about the new birth is the book of Acts. The book of Acts talks about believers, talks about the church, talks about disciples, but does not talk about sons. And the three things, whether it's the church or disciples or believers, are terms that preceded the book of Acts. So they are not unique to it. For example, Jesus' 12 were called his disciples. And they were also called those who believed in him. So they were not new terms. So the book of Acts, understandably, and that shows us the kind of information available in there, which is narrative in nature. So because it's not a book where there was no teaching, there was just a narration of what someone said, what another person said, what happened here and there. It wasn't a letter written to inform doctrinally. So it's understandable. Now look at the Pauline epistles has sufficient information. In Romans chapter 8, for example, verse 1, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made them free from the law of sin and death. In verse 9, it says, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If any has not, anyone has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So he mentions Spirit. Then in verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The word there is ago, which means to take from to another. In other words, we are taken from the flesh to where? The Spirit. They are the sons of God. And it says that we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, hereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So if you are, if that book, for example, Romans is for spiritual growth, you have an information there about who you are. So a fundamental ingredient of spiritual growth is knowing who you are. It's so important. You know, then in 1 Corinthians chapter, we can have many, but 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, you are the temple of God. The Spirit of God dwells in you. Identification. 1 Corinthians 6, 11. You are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians 6, 11. He that is joined with the Lord is one spirit. 1 Corinthians 6, 11. 1 Corinthians 6, 11. And go on and on. Then you now let's go to 2 Corinthians 3. Or 2 Corinthians 5, 17 is clearer. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You see, in the Greek means something created. A new species. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So, a vital ingredient of spiritual growth is identification. It must be emphasized. Spiritual growth. In fact, let me say this. A vital ingredient of correction. Assuming someone has done something bad. A believer. Something that is unbecoming of a believer. A vital tool of that correction is identification. That is in correcting. That is you want to scold. You want to scold the person. A vital ingredient of it is identification. I quoted 1 Corinthians. Okay, I was in, I'm where now? 2 Corinthians 5, 17. All things are passed away, all things have become new. Then Galatians 3. Galatians 3. Having begun in the spirit, verse 2. Are you now made perfect in the flesh? Galatians 3. Galatians 3, 29. Galatians 3, 29. Let me quote that. Let me open that. If you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. In fact, I will prepare to read verse 26. You are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Galatians 4, verse 6. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Ephesians 1:13, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 2:6, He raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 2, verse 18. Through Him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Philippians. Philippians 3. Verse 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now let's read Paul's testimony. Chapter verse 3 again, verse 9. And be found where? Where are we found? In Him. Not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. In fact, Colossians 2 verse 10, you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause we thank God, thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which what? Effectually worketh also in you which believe. So let's look at James. James 1, verse 18. Of the own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of the first fruit of his creation. So, if he's talking to them about temptation, and he's talking to them about, and he's correcting them, a vital ingredient of that correction, or that instruction, is who you are. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of the first fruit of his creation. So, identification is the backbone of spiritual growth, the meal for spiritual growth. It must never be missing. If you correct someone, for example, and you rebuke the person because of the attitude, and you leave out this fact, you are doing it in the flesh. And you leave out this truth, you are doing it in the flesh. That's what James was saying. The wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. You are doing it in the flesh. You must respond with the truth of God's word. I say it like this. I remember I taught this in one conference was it the Methodist Church conference in 1998. I said there's nobody. Then, I'm better now, Christian now. Somebody had preached before me, and the guy just became an offense to the cross. So I said, nobody here. And I was talking to the, because it was the campus fellowship conference, national. But then there were the elderly ones there who, and I said, none of you will love anyone to mistreat his children. I didn't talk to the man that preached directly, but they knew I was talking about him. That nobody would take it, that somebody would come and call your children dogs. Or call your, and they were all looking. And I said, are we not children of God? They were children of God. Would God like it that anybody should call us names? I said, no. Would God want it that anybody should insult us? Would anybody like it to call yourself monkey? He said, no. So be careful how you talk to God's children. I won't do that today again. I was too confrontational. Verse 18. Now I'm learning the love walk that I was as a younger Christian. Of his own will. So by the time he got to 22 and said, be ye doers of the word. What word are you supposed to do? Huh? Of his own will begat you. That's what you're supposed to practice. When you say, be doers of the word, some people, their mind is on rules and regulations. Is that the word? Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Just like John 15:7. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you ask what you will, it will be done. People now are saying that if you fill your mind with the word, that's saying you ask what you will. I said, ask what you will. What was he talking about? Don't just leave that of context and call it prayer. It was not even talking about prayer. Hallelujah. So, if you say doers of the word and not hearers only. I think I explained this in the vine, the branch, and the husbandman. Did I? John 15:7, yes. So, you look at, if that's what you are supposed to practice. That is why the word he uses there means to make a practice. That is to act upon. To act upon. In fact, The word used there is from the Greek word praxis, which is to, that is, it's, you know, when you have praso, which is where you have do. You now have praxis. Praxis is function. So like the way you say, you put your phone. You get it? No, it begins to function. So it says, be doers of the word. That means function in the word. Hallelujah. It's not rules and regulations. He said, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, is likened to the man who looks at his own face in the mirror, then forgets. So what he is practicing is who he is. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? Okay. So what he is practicing is who he is. The meal for spiritual growth is spiritual identification. You can't take it out. We mustn't reduce spiritual growth to rules and regulations, commandments. Oftentimes we breed hypocrites. In Jude 19 says, having not the Spirit, making a distinction between the born again man and the unsaved man, having not the Spirit. But you, beloved, build up yourselves, on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So he makes a distinction. The man who is not saved does not have the Spirit. In 1 John 3, we can even start from 1. I don't know why I went to Jude first. 1 John 1, verse 3. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, those are the opening statements. Our fellowship is who? With the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John 3:8. Whatsoever is born of God. Say, I am born of God. That's important in understanding spiritual growth. Does not commit sin, for His seed remains in Him and He cannot sin because He is born of God. I want to stay 1 John 4:4 together. You are of God. Are you there? You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 5:4. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. 1 John 5:18. We know that the whole world, whosoever is born of God, sinneth not. But he that is born of, begotten of God, he himself keepeth, and the wicked one touches him not. So, it brings out the food of spiritual growth. Hebrews 2:10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Verse 11, for both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one. That is, they have the same Father. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Even Revelation, the book of Revelation, has identification. Revelation 1 and verse 5. Revelation 1:5. From Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, or to whom that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and have made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. If you understand that, then you will not find anything that is contrary to us in anything he says afterwards. Because he has already told you by identification who you are. So, in writing to believers, all the apostles were conscious of not excluding in any way who the believer is. None of them did. It's a vital ingredient. In fact, there were some times that Paul was writing to correct a major flaw, and yet this was a vital fact of the things that he said. Hallelujah. So if you're a pastor, don't get so angry and then speak out of your head, still talk from God's word. Hallelujah. I remember when I was pastoring and we had to talk about a particular sister. I said, when I was pastor, what I said? When I pastored years ago. The point was that because I'm used to traveling. So when I say this testimony, this is how I started. So I'm stereotyped. I say when I was pastoring. So now I'm pastoring. When I was pastoring before now. I hope I'll change it. So I was saying that, I say, you know, this sister, she's born of God. We're on like a pastor's meeting. Everybody was going, yes. She's born of the Spirit. Yes. She's the righteousness of God in Christ. I say, yes. So what can we now do? You know, very interesting people. So let's look at 1 Peter 2. And you can see the reason why Peter spent a quality time talking about who the believer is. So instructions must be surrounded with identification. Is that clear? All right, so it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Careless translation. I'll give you some translations and what they say. The way the King James put it is, I'll tell you why it's used thereby. So it's not like it was totally out of place, but it will confuse you from what he said. The NIV says, you will grow in your salvation. The Aramaic translation says, you will grow strong in this life. Aramaic translation. The New American Standard Translation of 1977 says, I think this is one kind of like, no, NESV, what kind of like? You will grow in respect to salvation. Grow in respect to salvation. Weymouth Translation says, you know, while I was considering them, I know I don't usually use translations. Anybody can do his own translation. I'm doing this is, for you to see that it was language that King James missed. It's just a language thing. It's not that it got the word wrong. It's just the use of language. The kind of old language, old English that it used. Weymouth says, you may grow up to salvation. Young's literal translation says, in it you may grow. That is for me the clearest, because in it you may grow. So when King James says thereby, he says thereby means from that. So really it was also talking about salvation. But I guess that old English, thereby where? You know. Why? Because the word thereby, please pay attention, the word thereby in the Greek is a preposition that indicates a destination. EIS is the Greek word, used 1,774 times. You can use any of these prepositions and see what fits in. AT, at. You may grow at. Or to. You may grow to. Or unto. You may grow unto. Start again. You may grow at. You may grow to. You may grow unto. You may grow for. Or you may grow upon. Or you may grow in. Or you may grow towards. Can see why I prefer Young's literal translation. You may grow at. You may grow to. You may grow unto. You may grow for. You may grow upon. You may grow in. Or you may grow towards. So, pay attention. So when he says, why would they use salvation? Because the prior words of Peter were words of salvation. We can look at it together. 1 Peter 1:5. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. That's the same word there, eis, ready to be revealed in the last time. 1 Peter 1:9, even the salvation of your souls. So why would we use salvation and spiritual growth? Why? Because for many of us in our elementary understanding, we think salvation means what happened to you at the altar. But the writings of Peter and the apostles covers more than that. It covers the experience that we have in Christ. So look at 2 Peter 3:15. When Peter was going to talk about salvation, he spoke to Paul, and he says that he has wisdom. The long suffering of our Lord is salvation. And he says Paul has wisdom. He says he has insight in salvation. So if Peter is talking about growing onto or from salvation, he'll be referring to what? Your salvation growing or growing in insight. Am I right? On salvation. Insight. Growing in insight. Because what he said was desire the sincere milk of the word. I'll leave that explanation till next week. I know I've done that explanation before. You know, insight in salvation. James 1:21 talks about receive the engrafted word which is able to save the soul. So in 1 Peter 2:2, when it says grow unto or grow from or grow in it grow, he said, desire the sincere milk of the word. So we have some words we must look at. The word desire, the word sincere milk of the word, which is where you have reasonable, that refers to the mind. We'll check that later. Now, observe something. He says the sincere, and he uses the word, a very careful word, a word that Paul also refers to a lot, is the word adolon. Adolon, A-D-O-L-O-N, is the exact opposite of dolos, D-O-L-O-S, which is deceitful. Deceitful. Something that is not true. Now, what does that mean? You cannot grow with false doctrine. You can have experiences. You can be the meal of Christian growth is the doctrine of Christ. So the question is, can a believer who is not taught properly, can he grow? No. He can grow in experiences, he can grow in service, but he is not growing spiritually. Because the meal of spiritual growth has to be pure. Are you there? Did you notice that when they are all talking about growth, they always talk about what you hear. Just like James. Just like Paul. Look at Ephesians 4. You can't grow on false information. If you are told that holiness is to tie scarf and not wear jeans, you cannot grow. Oh, but I love the Lord. You never grew. You can't. Look at Ephesians 4:14. I know it's tough for folks. And that's why you discover that when someone, I don't know whether you've ever had the experience of being fed, you know, what we call religion, about things that are not biblically understood. And then when you come into revelation, it's like the new birth. Who has ever had that experience? It's like the new. Don't want to raise your hand, understand? It's fine. It's okay. It's all right. I mean, I remember a lady. She was so overwhelmed, and I don't want to share experience, but I want to say this. She said, she begged me. She had been an HOD in a fellowship on campus. He said, lead me to Christ. I said, I know you are born again. She said, no. That day, she talked me into leading her to confession. When I got to chapel, New Life Chapel, she said, sir, it's okay for my sake. I said, okay. Let's pray together. I believe in my heart. I believe in her. She had to do it to say, now she's confident that she's born again. You know? Hallelujah. Look at Ephesians 4. Are you learning something? There can never be growth outside Christ. You can't have growth. Because you are growing in. Do you get it? And that's the word we looked at now. It is, right? The word grow there, but you are growing in. So if the information is not in, you are not growing. Does it make sense? The information has to be in. Ephesians 4. See, we all come to the vision of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, of the perfect man, which stipulates growth, of the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, notice what was the meal? The knowledge of who? Are you there? Why was all Paul's prayers about knowledge? You can't grow. You know the Philippians 3, that I counted all things dung, it was his experience as a believer. You can't grow. We have people who founded churches as spiritual babes. Large denominations. As spiritual babes. Because in the land of the blind, I wasn't making a joke. The one-eyed man, I mean, look at, if you are from, and you come to Lagos, and you attend the primary school, you know, where they say, let's play A for apple. English class, oh. What are you going to, and you now go back to your hometown. You know, you are a teacher. You know, many of our parents, when they finish primary school, I think, before they went to secondary school, they will be teaching. Not secondary school to university, primary school, they will be teaching. They are also teachers. So a spiritual babe can run a denomination. It just needs people that believe what it is. Are you there? So there are people you can respect for their labor's sake, not for the word's sake. That is their trying. In spite of, do you get it? They are trying their best. Do you understand? Okay. No, but this is not really funny. Look at Ephesians 4. So what's the meal? See, we come to the full knowledge of the Son of God. Epignosis of Christ. That is, we know who He is. And that knowledge is spoken about in Ephesians 1. It's not that I know Jesus. I've seen Jesus. He's very handsome. Than any man I know. That's what I say. He has prayed that prayer in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. Ephesians 1, 16 to 23. So that's the focus of that knowledge. So when you find anybody speaking down on knowledge, they are speaking down on growth. And do you know it's what you don't have that you speak against? Do you get it? It's what you don't have that are speaking against it. Look at this. verse 14, that we be no more children. Look, notice that. Do you know he didn't say that you said we be no more children? He used a collective noun there, that we be no more children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. So, children will be tossed by what? Every wind of doctrine. There was a prominent man of God that said this, and it made me really, I pitied the entire denomination. He said, well, I agree, I can see the finished work of Christ, the message of grace, as some people call it. I say, I believe it's in the Bible. He said, but, in fact, what he did was, he called his sons in the ministry. And he called them, and I said, you guys, I know you are exposed to this teaching and this. I said, I know, but let me just tell you my personal opinion. And and he's a person that talks about God told him. So, and that normally harasses anybody. If you're in Africa, we like metaphysical things, extraterrestrial information. That, somebody said something, say, hey, someone say, I dreamt. Say, what is there? it's Africa. Say, you dreamt? I dreamed that nobody should go out of this house today. Say, you should not go. In Africa, we like extraterrestrial, metaphysical things. Because that's how we are. Even our names reflect it. it's not a simple name. Yours here, Olorunseun, da. We like to bring somebody into our problems. I don't think you understand what I'm saying. I was saying something. Okay, so he now called his sons. He now said, look. He said, he's there, but say, but me. This is my persuasion. And when you see someone like that, I'd rather get to heaven. And God says, you overdid it than to miss heaven. So, I just told the pastor, I said, and all of you remained in that denomination. The man just told you, he's not sure. But he would rather just act in fear. Because in his heart, he believes in the finished work of Christ. If he doesn't, he will be preaching what he preaches. But in his heart, he knows that it has to be mercy for what I'm doing. Don't bother your head. So I said, but you all stayed there. He's always telling you that I would rather do wrong, and I'm told I was wrong, than do right, and then I found out that it was wrong. I said, that's a confused person. He's not sure. So he will first take all of you through Sinai. They say, don't worry, God is everywhere. Oh my God, let me leave this. The knowledge of the Son of God. When somebody not tossed on by every wind of darkness, like a man, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Can you understand again? The word deceive comes out, dolos. Around. Can you grow on false doctrine?
No.
Can you grow on legalism?
No.
Was there spiritual growth among the Pharisee sect that believed? No. They were not growing. No. Peter actually told them that what they were doing was that they were increasing in their ability to endure yokes. Have you observed that there are sometimes in life there's a pain. You feel it after a while, you are just to the pain. You just endure it. And you're now used to, you want to pray, you cover your head. It's almost like an instinct, supernatural. You think that you are a better Christian. When you were younger, you will forget your scarf. Now, you just take it. You are growing. In your own eyes. You say, Heavenly Father, you are saying, Father, I am nothing. In your eyes you say, because you are afraid. Do you get it? And you are growing, but not in salvation. You are growing, but not thereby. I hope you understand what we are saying. You are not growing thereby. You not see somebody else. You say, is this only a Christian? Because you're using a ring, a man. Hell. That one may be growing. Because he sees God as his father. He's a spoiled child though. But he still sees God as his father. You see God as the Inspector General of Police of the body of Christ. You know, he is growing and you are not. And you can be a senior pastor. Hope I'm making sense. Because he said you may grow thereby. Don't forget that thereby. You have to grow thereby. Your growth must come from your birth. You can't be born as a human being and you're saying you're growing as a dog. That's not commensurate to your nature. Yes, you're a dog that is doing fine. But you were not born a dog. Is this not clear? Your laughter is too much, bro. You are a human being, but you are not developing as all the information you have is about dogs. And you are so doing well that dogs bark and you bark back. You are doing fine. You've adjusted very well as a dog, but you're not growing thereby. Am I making sense? So that's important that you cannot grow on false doctrine. What now happened all the years? I didn't know who I was. Okay, I knew I was right. You were not growing. You were doing fine in what you were doing. But you were not growing. Because Peter says you have to desire the sincere. He didn't say desire anything, no? Say, that guy is worded. I said, you are right. This one is worded. And the guy quotes all the scriptures that should not meet. I told someone, I said, if we take all the scriptures you quoted in one letter, you won't understand it. You know, there are some preachers, if they listen to themselves, they will not believe themselves. I told someone, I said, what you wrote? Read it. What does it mean? Is it? I think I'm saying, you see? If you put all the scriptures you just quoted, we put it in a book, you will not understand it. The kind of DJ work you did, they will call the station. Please take that music away. What are you playing? So let's see the word desire. Amen. No, but I think are we not making sense? Because you have to grow thereby. You have to grow in. You can't be growing elsewhere. Praise God. So, amen. The word desire is the word epiphyseo. 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 Is used 9 times. You find in Romans 1:11, when Paul says he desired to see the folks at Rome. 2 Corinthians 5:2, we desire to be clothed upon. 2 Corinthians 9:4. Philippians 1:8. Philippians 2:26. I'll go over it again. Romans 1:11. 2 Corinthians 5:2. 2 Corinthians 9:14. Philippians 1:8. Philippians 2:26. 1 Thessalonians 3:6. 2 Timothy 1:4. Then James 4:5. I'll take it again. Romans 1:11. 2 Corinthians 5:2. 2 Corinthians 9:14. Philippians 1:8. Philippians 2:26. 1 Thessalonians 3:6. 2 Timothy 1:4. 2 Timothy 1:4. James 4:5. It's used for a desire that is passionate, a deliberate desire. That is, spiritual growth is not an unconscious thinking. you will what? Now, don't forget, what are you desiring? Unadulterated. Now, when it says logikos, a reasoning, a reasoning, that is, he just presented a reasoning to you. You are born again, not of corruptible seed. He presented to you that you were born from Christ's resurrection. So, your growth must be in that pattern. Are you there? You must desire what he just told you. You must desire to grow in what he told you. Grow thereby. So it must be passionate, a deliberate walk. Please mark this out. It must be passionate. It must be a deliberate walk. Now let me ask you. That means that you don't automatically desire it. He taught it. We must teach Christians to desire. So, as a pastor, your work should be such that people, when they come to church, you will teach them to desire spiritual growth. You won't tell them what do they desire. No. You will teach them what they must desire. Sincere milk of the word, that they may grow thereby. Please follow this. Why did Peter have to say this? Because he had laid the foundation. What was his foundation? Who you are. So, spiritual growth is growing in who you are. It's not growing to become. It's the growing in who you are. So, we'll look at the word growth shortly. So that means I will grow upon identification. The first thing about my growth is I identify who I am. I can't grow if I'm told that I am just like an Israelite. There's no way I will grow in salvation if that's the information I have. Are you getting this at all? I can't grow. If I'm told that the Holy Spirit comes and goes, that is a question of, that is a visitor. I told someone, he said, well, it's not, say, divine visitation. I said, wait. Do you visit your house? He said, no. Very good. Who did you say who visited you? He said, God. He said, who lives in you? He said, God. I said, which of them? Because he may be talking about Batala. You are not sure. You see, when we were younger, that some things we say on the pulpit, if we are not careful, it will affect our mind. We contradict our mind. We say, I am this. I want to be this. In the same breath, take it easy. The mind can't handle too many contradictions. You just break down. I said, who lives in say God? Who is listening to say God? Ah, take one. I said, yes. It's true. Because sometimes Bible teaching is just make people just receive sense. So I say that, but what he said. He said, what's wrong in taking Holy Communion? I said, that's not. I said, what's it for? He said, the body of Jesus and the blood. And I said, no, what's it for? He said, to remember him. How? Did he die again? He said, I said, but what's it for? What is it to? He said, we are declaring he's dead. I said, to who? To him or to yourself? He said, to ourselves. I said, you don't believe it? He said, I do. So, why are you bringing this? He was not saying. He began to laugh. He said, Pastor, he was laughing. I said, sir, no, there's nothing wrong in it. We're just sharing thoughts. I said, what is the gospel? He said, he died. He rose from the dead. Did you believe? He said, did you have time? I said, yes. So what's the bread for? He was not laughing. He had written a book on it. I said, baptism, what's it for? He said, that one we proclaim. I said, to who? Why are you, this thing that you are proclaiming, who is it for? He said, but how come that one is once? Is it because water is far from the shores? You should also be doing that one regularly. Say, you want to declare that Jesus died. Every Sunday, just take out that. The way you are laughing, he was not laughing at himself. I said, these things are not difficult to understand, though. It's just that many of us, we drop our mind with the usher when we are going. The usher, hold my blade. What I've done, give me back. So it must be passionate. Something that, without doing exegesis, this is clear. I don't have to mention the corroboration. It's so clear. You will take one, bread or Jesus. Take one. Because Jesus is not bread. Okay, let's go for that. I was talking to someone, I said, the cross. You believe the cross is everywhere. I said, but the Bible says you are crucified with Christ. I said, why are you not on the cross in your church? Anyway. We just like him. To grow thereby. The word grow in 1 Peter 2, verse 2. You know, normally, have you ever done this? When you are studying God's word or you are hearing something, you now remember yourself, you are laughing at yourself alone. You don't look at yourself. I was telling some friends outside when we were coming, I said, what we did with God with contentment. I said, I'm ashamed to say it publicly. I said, we said, do you think? I was preaching, it was 95. I was 10. People got up. He said, godliness. Godliness means to act like God, to function like God. When you are functioning like God, you don't ask for things. They already belong to you. That's why you are content. I look at it and say, love of money. See how we turn that Bible. Even Paul will say, huh? You are a G. I said, the ways of people do with materialism. Jesus will tell the rich fool, I apologize. The young said, I apologize. You didn't do anything. you have entered the kingdom. Please don't distract me. So, 1 Peter 2:2, that you may grow thereby. The word grow is oxano in the Greek. A-U-X-A-N-O. It's a verb. And because it's from that incorruptible, it shows you oxano is non-stop. Spiritual growth doesn't end. It's a non-stop increase. Let's look at the term oxano, how it's used in several books of the scripture I've just mentioned. In Matthew 6:28, it's used for the seed of a tree. Same thing, Matthew 13:32. Mark 4:8. You'll find it in Luke 2:27 and Luke 13:19. I'll take it again. Matthew 6:28, trees and seed. Matthew 13:32, Luke 12:27, Luke 13:19, Mark 4:8. In Luke 1:8 is used for John. In Luke 2:40 is used for Jesus. Look at John 3:30. Oxano. John 3:30. He must increase. John was going to say, I must decrease. Very key. So, he's not talking about size. He's talking about influence. He must increase. I must decrease. And he is still increasing. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? He must increase. And I must decrease. It's used for people in Acts 7:17. Acts 6:7. Pay attention to this one. This is vital. Acts 6:7. And the word of God increased. Notice oxano is used for the word. It says the word of God increased. Does that have a limit? No. And the word of God increased. It was used for God's word so much. Acts 12:24. The word of God increased. Acts 12:24. And it's still increasing. Am I right? Okay. Acts 12:24. And the word of God grew and multiplied. Acts 19:20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. 1 Corinthians 3. And verse 6. I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. Notice he's talking about the word. The spiritual increase of the information they gave. That has no limits. Pay attention. 2 Corinthians 9:10. No, 1 Corinthians 3:7 again. So then, is he that planted anything, neither he that watered, but God that gives the increase. 2 Corinthians 9:10 is metaphorical. 2 Corinthians 9:10. He that ministers seed to the sower both minister bread for your food and multiplies your seed sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness. Increase, which is spiritual growth actually, the fruit of your righteousness. 2 Corinthians 10:15. That we shall be, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our abundant flow. Now pay attention to this. When your faith is increased, then it says in 16, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast another man's line of things made ready to our hand. Ephesians 2:21. So the increase was spoken of again of the gospel. Ephesians 2:21. In whom all the building frame together grows into an holy temple in the Lord. As it grows on an holy temple in the Lord is a better way to translate that. Look at so it's talking about a continual growth. We're not growing to become a temple, we are growing from, or we are growing as the temple of God. So the growth there is continuous. Ephesians 4:15. Speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So it's a non-stop progress. Colossians 2:19. And not holding the head from which all the body of joints and of nourished ministered and knit together, increase with the increase of God. 2 Peter 3:18, which is important. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. Grow oxano. Grow in grace. So have you observed that what he's talking about is influence? Influence. He's not talking about size, but influence. Look at 2 Peter 3:18. It says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The word there is gnosis. Gnosis is used for practical insight. Greek language is used for classwork. You know, when you learn something in school, then you now go and say, go and do classwork, go and do assignment. That's gnosis. Functional knowledge. Practical use. Like you say, internship, your work experience, like exams. When you are putting it to work, it's from the Greek word ginosko, which is to realize by practice. So, when it says grow in the knowledge, it's not talking about grow by hearing God's word. Mm-mm. Grow by the functional insight. That is, you are not just hearing this, you are actually working in the experience. And that growth does not have limits. Do you understand? It doesn't have limits. There's no point to stop. So spiritual growth is not something you do and stop. It's a lifelong pursuit of a believer. You don't say, I have grown. They begin to have walking sticks spiritually. You know, when I was young, I stopped growing. And then they begin to recommend old people's diets for you. No. It's not a phase. It's the entire Christian life. Because you cannot die, you can't stop growing. Do you understand? It's called of the incorruptible. Because it makes that distinction for you. Do you understand? So, there's a limit with which we can use natural growth to explain spiritual growth. Is that very clear? The growth of the believer can only be compared to the growth of the word. You can't, there's a limit to use those, when you are not older, you know, whereas when you are getting older in the natural, you are going to die. You begin to lose your coordination. You can't use that kind of explanation. But the truth is, spiritual growth is a constant, consistent increase of God in a man's life. Increase. You know, Philippians was arguably one of Paul's last letters. And is one of the closing one of the statements in Philippians was that I may know him. Written about, I think historically about 3, 4, 5 years before he died. That I may know him. That scares. Eh? Know who? Caesar? No. Christ Jesus. And that's why we say, the knowledge, we'll talk about this in Paul's definition. The knowledge of God is not a means to an end. That's why people start talking about application. You know that they don't understand what it is. It's not a means to an end. It is the very end in itself. See, this is eternal life, that they may know you. The Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we might know. It's not, you now know, then where are you applying it? Are you applying it in, what are you getting out of it? No. Hallelujah. And these are the things that have colored teaching of God's word. There are even some people that say they are word people, Christocentric, is to an extent. Hallelujah. Look at that writer. He says that when all things that surround me become shadows. The word of God should be able to affect the rich and the poor the same way. Let me say this. It should be able to affect the sick and the well the same way. Hallelujah. The same way. Because for some, Jesus is like a platform to pursue an ambition or your meal tickets. But he told that woman at the well, he said, if you drink of this water, you will thirst again. You will thirst. There is nothing you will get that has an earthly value that does not increase thirst. It won't last. Say, but I will give you the water that you will never thirst again. Hallelujah. You will thirst again. You will thirst. So the revelation of Jesus is not, it's the end itself. Hallelujah. It's the end. I was in church on Sunday that, I'm not going to talk about Paul, but I guess next week I will, that Paul's conversion and his revelation are similar. He meets his herding people into prison, then he meets Jesus. And he says, I am Jesus whom you persecute. The first encounter he had with Jesus identified Jesus and the church. That had to birth his revelation. He couldn't have preached any other thing. I am Jesus. Eh? You mean everybody had been hurling into prison? That's Jesus. That's why he couldn't but teach in Christ. Let's leave that for another time. Hallelujah. There is an. And you know, immediately he said, "Who are thou, Lord?" Said, "Who are thou, Lord?" Said, and immediately his response, he didn't need to be told, appropriate it, apply it. You know, you don't know anything. Do you get it? Where is revelation? Nobody will tell you what to do. Hallelujah. You don't need principles to forgive if you understand his forgiveness. You know, Paul says, has God has forgiven you in Christ. That is, the minute you know that one, you'll do this one. Hallelujah. If we spend time to know who he is, we'll know who we are. Hallelujah. Are you there? So it's not a means to an end. It's not like, okay, so, so where? So what? So, not anything. Have you seen that without all these things, if you study God's word alone, there's just this love you have for Jesus. You will see him. And you just like you are alone. Hallelujah. Do you get it? That is true Bible study. Not the one you are looking for principles. I can see a principle here. It's called networking. Second principle. Bros, it's not Jesus that you are seeing. Bros, it's not Jesus. You are seeing something. You are having a spiritual mirage. Hallelujah. So you can't stop growing. Are we together? You can't. You can't stop growing. So, 1 Peter 2. I hope you are learning something. That you may grow thereby. Why? Why did he say that? Look at verse 3. If so be that you have tasted, hallelujah, that the Lord is gracious. That's important. The word gracious is Christos in the Greek. Christos. You find it in Matthew 11:30, when Jesus said that my yoke is easy, my body is light. Luke 5:39, Luke 6:35, Romans 2:4, Ephesians 4:30, 1 Corinthians 15:33. It means what is good in itself. That the Lord is gracious. You have seen it. How did you see it? You saw it in the new birth. Hallelujah. If so be that you have indeed tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now the word if is the word EI. It's used as a conditional particle or a conjunction. That is. I can say that is you have known. Not that it's not like this is the condition for growth. Mm-mm. That is you grow. How? Thereby what? In the taste you have had that the Lord is gracious. And how did you taste him? Because that's an experience in the new birth. The new birth is the goodness of God. Listen to me. You know, I had this chat a few days ago with a guy. The guy said, well, I have a problem with your preaching on prosperity. And I said, what's the issue? He said, do you believe in prosperity? I said, I don't believe in prosperity. I believe in prosperity. How do you mind? I go to school. Why do I work? Am I working exercise. I mean, use your brain now. I'm just working for exercise. I'm gym. You know, because I want to earn something. And then, what is that time? Say, but then, the problem. Say, what's wrong with what you preach? You are saying that God will bless people unconditionally. That I said, how is that a problem for you? I said, the fact that I'm saying that God is good, she will not ask you to give to bless you. How is that a false doctrine? Say, that's not the issue, sir. I said, what's the issue? What's on phone? Say, the problem is. Say, the church. They are saying that they don't have to give to the church. Say, how will we run the ministry? I said, so you don't even have a problem in ruining God's character to achieve your goals. I said, you are heartless. So. You don't mind God being defamed by your offering bag. As long as you are running the church. I said, whose church? You want to present God in a bad light so that your ministry can run. I said, you won't succeed. Hallelujah. When did we taste that the Lord is gracious in our salvation? So we'll grow in that character of God. We'll grow in that knowledge. Hallelujah. So be that we have tasted that He is intricately good. It's not that He does good. He is intricately good. Then He says, to whom coming as unto a living stone. So between verse 5 and verse 10, He begins to paint identification again. Can you imagine? He's talking growth and He's still coming back to identification. That you are a living stone. Say, I'm a living stone. Built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer our spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That's what we have received. Then He goes on and on about those who have not received, those who have believed. Look at verse 9. You are a chosen, the same language that the apostles used. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. Notice it says, to whom coming? That is, we have come in verse 9. As what have we come? This is our experience. Having come to Him, what did He make out of us? Living stones. Hallelujah. Having come to Him, what did He make out of us? He said, we're a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Spiritual house, offering of sacrifices acceptable unto God by Jesus Christ. What did He make out of us? We are a chosen generation. Hallelujah. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That's what we are. Praise God. That's what we are growing in. Hallelujah. So that's what we are growing in. So, you must know we do from being. This is who we are before what we do. It now says to show forth. I love the word to show forth. It's the word exagelo, to publish. Exagelo, to show forth. Do you know that we are not becoming those things? We are showing them forth. The praises of Him. What praises is the word perfection. Taken from virtues. The praises of Him is the word arete in the Greek. It's used for perfection. Glory to God. Or we'll call it excellence. So we were born excellent. Spiritual growth does not improve you. Hallelujah. Spiritual growth just reveals you. You are not being improved. What improves is your knowledge of yourself. The brother that is growing and the brother that is not growing, they are still in the same state. The difference is, one state is being shown forth, the other is not. And that's why James will say, the one that is not showing it, but is deluding himself, is acting beside himself, paralogismai. He's not like doing a drama. Something that makes me, you're acting a drama. Coming to your, that something is ignorance. That something is ignorance. And that's why you are there. But you know something? Whether you look for your helper here and there, the helper is within you. So nothing will change in your ignorance. The only thing is that you are not growing. Does it make sense? To show forth the praises. Hallelujah. When Paul says, whatever things are pure, think on these things. What do you think he's talking about? Think about who you are. Those thoughts he said were thoughts about you. Any good report, any praise. Think on these things. In the Greek, he was saying that which is, that is, this is who you are. Think on these things. Put your mind on those realities. Feed your mind on those realities. That's who you are. You cannot be a choleric. It is not possible. I saw a preacher. I said, you are not choleric. I said, you are choleric. You can never be. It is not in us. We don't have it. We don't have it. You only have a choleric habit that you stole from somewhere. You have a godly habit. Was a guy almost slapped his face. You're righteous. That was in 1994. We beat ourselves over righteousness. Lord have mercy. There were some guys in Melambi Hall that were fighting over doctrine. I told him that. he will know the word by punches. Lord have mercy. To show forth his perfection. We have his perfection. Because we are born of the incorruptible, that which cannot die. Hallelujah. Are you there? That's why the apostles were strong on identification. Any moral virtues displayed out of identification is dead works. It must come. That's why I say, when we glory in the Lord. We glory. We see these things and we say, ah! I mean, have you done Bible study and you are crying? Nobody beats you. And I say, ah! Hallelujah. There was a day I was studying Paul. I was tracking Paul. And I got to a point. I said, ah, this guy is a wonder. You know, Paul convinced me personally. I had an issue. I said, he convinced me. I said, I don't just like what he says. I like how he says it. That this guy, no wonder they wanted to kill him. I mean, I think it was last month. I said, ah, this guy is convincing. Don't let me tell you where. You know, and you look at those things and you wonder, sir, Jesus, there's a way, yeah, I can come and say this one time, that if he gets to heaven and Jesus should disprove what he knew, he will tell Jesus, this is not Jesus. You know, I just like that statement that there's something about knowing someone. You know, we'll know Jesus so well in his words that when we see him physically, nothing is changing. The way we're supposed to teach the believer who he is that when he gets to heaven, he's not surprised. He's not supposed to say, ah, something will be, oh, that great day, ah. They'll still be saying, my helper, in heaven. He says, which were not a people, hallelujah. That word people is Laos, L-O-S. It is used for people from a birth that are together. We are now the people of God. How did we become the people of God? By birth. Hallelujah. It's not by numbering. It's not who came in first. We are the people of God. Hallelujah. So now let's look at the growth. What is the growth? Verse 11. Dearly beloved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dearly beloved. The word there is agapetos. He repeats it again. He's about to give you instructions. He reminds you again. Dearly beloved. Hallelujah. Which were not, look at, read it together. Let's read verse 10 into 11. Which are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy, dearly beloved. Hallelujah. It just flows. Agapetos. Peter understood that. You know why? Because there are two places that Peter used it. Two places. Peter heard these words in John's baptism. He heard these words again at the transfiguration. He was used for Jesus. Hallelujah. So he knows what he's saying. Are you there? He was there at the baptism. He heard John say that God said this about him. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. He now heard it himself. So he had no choice but to say that to you and I. Are you there? That's the way we can grow. We must be seen in the firstborn. Are you there? Okay. Loved of God. Agapetos. Let's just run to where you find this. It's used, whenever you say loved, and you look at agapetos, and you use it for someone, that person has a personal hold on that, on the object. Personal relationship is used for God in Romans 1:7. And Romans 12:9, Paul used it. Agapetos is someone you have displayed affection over. Ephesians 5:1, he says, be ye imitators of God as agapetos children. Dear children. In Luke 20:13, it's used for personal things. Let me just go to Acts 15:25. Romans 16:5. Romans 16:5. Romans 16:8. Romans 16:9. Romans 16:12. Romans 16:5. 8, 9, and 12. It's to explain personal relationship. That you see, this fellow is dear to this man. 1 Corinthians 4:14. 1 Corinthians 4:14. 1 Corinthians 4:17. Ephesians 6:21. Ephesians 6:21. Philippians 2:12. 1 Corinthians 10:14. Let me run through that again. Romans 16:5, 8, 9, and 12. 1 Corinthians 4:14. 1 Corinthians 4:17. 1 Corinthians 10:14. Ephesians 6:21. And Philippians 2:12. It is to show, write this down. It is to show personal affection. Or better still, a displayed affection. To call someone beloved, that means whoever is beloved to has displayed an affection. Now, in Peter's letters, where was that affection displayed in our salvation? So, we cannot grow outside that salvation. That salvation is a reference point because we are growing in it. You must grow in his love. You must grow in knowing this. So watch this. So he's about to give you instruction and he starts by saying, dearly beloved. That by now you should have known that you are beloved. Hallelujah. He says, I beseech you as strangers. That word I beseech means to summon your attention to something. To summon your attention as strangers. Now, let's stop, look up. If you teach 1 Peter 2:11 alone, you will lead people into error. Before they know it, they think you are talking about dressing. But why are you strangers? Look at the background. You have a problem to know why you are a stranger. Are you getting this? So it says, you are strangers. Hallelujah. As strangers, pardon me. Why did he say that? And pilgrims. The word stranger is the word paroikos. P-A-R-O-I-K-O-S. Of course, oikos has to do with dwelling. That if where we are right now, which is this world, is foreign to our birth. Are you there? So spiritual growth should be clear to you now. That where we are today is foreign. He calls you a stranger. Let's see where the word stranger is used. Acts 7:6. Acts 7:29. It's used for a temporary dweller who will not stay long. Acts 7, please pay attention to something. Acts 7, verse 6. And Acts 7, verse 29. And Ephesians 2, 19. Now, where are we not staying long in? Primarily, this physical body. Are you there? Because he had told you earlier, can you remember, that we spoke about that eternal inheritance. Can you remember that? Okay. So, he said, look, recognize that you are in a passing phase. Hallelujah. You know, that can never stop. That's growth. You are in a passing phase. You are a stranger. Then he uses the word pilgrim. A pilgrim is someone who belongs elsewhere. It's a passerby. It's the word pare, pidomos. P-A-R-E. L-I-D-O-M-O-S. Paralidomos. P-A-R-E-L-I-D-O-M-O-S. A passerby. Someone who belongs elsewhere. Are you there? You belong elsewhere. Now, is it difficult for you to know this if you have understood chapter 1, verse 1 to chapter 2, verse 10? Is it difficult?
No.
Stand 2:11, you must have been well fed for who you are. This is the danger on teaching conduct without identification. You are basically just teaching dead works. The guy is not seeing it that he wants to become a stranger. No, you are. Whether you admit it or not, you are a stranger. You are a pilgrim. By the virtue of the new birth, you are a stranger and you are a pilgrim. Are you there? Look at the statements. So he now says, that means Bible teaching must always identify us as who? Strangers and pilgrims. Let's take over. Those that hear us every Sunday, they can grow. Because they will take over. See, there are four faces of Jesus. One is a king. One is a ruler. One is divinity. One is humanity. That's serious. You will never know Jesus that way. Someone say, revelation knowledge is like a mountain. You look at one side, you see a dog. Look at another side, you see a monkey. Another side, you see a lion. I said, if you see any other thing apart from a mountain, you have not seen rightly. Do you understand? How many people tell you that, I thought I saw my dog. Say, well, I saw his view I had. You won't give a dirty slap for us. If you see Jesus outside who he is, you have seen the wrong person. There are no four sides to Jesus. Any side you turn, you will see him. People say all those things so that they can accommodate their error. We'll take it. 1 Peter 2. Abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Apeko is the word. Apeko is a continuing action. It means stay away from. Because the word echo means to have something. The word apo is away. We'll examine that a bit more. You know, stay away from it. Now, why are you staying away from lust? That means the lust cannot emanate from you. Are you there? He says the word, we'll examine that. He says it's called the fleshly. That is that which comes from the flesh. That's not your physical body. The word flesh is sarkikos. You can see it in 1 Corinthians 3:3. It means from the flesh. 1 Corinthians 3, you have it twice. Romans 15, 27. 1 Corinthians 9, 11. 2 Corinthians 1:12 and 2 Corinthians 10:4. We walk in the flesh, we don't walk after the flesh. And we're talking about a spiritual language. Now follow this. It says, fleshly lusts. You know, he's teaching exactly what Paul taught in Galatians 5. Walk in the spirit that you not fulfill the lust of where? They are saying the same thing. Are you there? Why does he call them lust of the flesh? Because we are born of God. So they are not natural to us. So it says, which war against the soul? Are you there? So it's teaching spiritual growth. So how many instructions do you have in chapter 2? 2 to desire to grow in it. The second instruction is 2:11. So 2:2 instruction is from where? 2:11. The growth starts from 2:11. But the growth is based on all the information he just gave you. Because you are growing in it. Is it clear? Good. So it says the war against your soul. I'll talk about this more later because I want to round off quickly. Is the word strateo. S-T-R-A-T-E-U-O. It's often used for soldiers. This is a very crucial explanation. Because it's exactly what Paul was saying in Galatians 5. The reason why some people think that Peter didn't write what they thought he would write was because they didn't study him well. He's saying exactly what Paul thought. Walking in the Spirit. It's used for soldiers, Luke 3:14, 1 Corinthians 9:7. In fact, it's used for a deliberate attempt to wage war. So it's not unconscious. 2 Corinthians 10:3. 1 Timothy 1:18. 2 Timothy 2:4. I'll take it again. Strateo, you can see it in Luke 3:14. 1 Corinthians 9:7. Used for soldiers. 2 Corinthians 10:3. 1 Timothy 1:18. 2 Timothy 2:4. James 4:1. It says they war against your soul. Now, let me ask you. Are they in your soul?
No.
So, where do you have soul in the entire letter? Look for it. In 1 Peter 1:9, salvation. 1 Peter 1:22, your soul has been purified. Remember when we use the word purified, I explained it to me to be kept from what? Death. So, let me say it again. Your soul can never be contaminated. Are you there? So it's a war against the soul. 1 Peter 2:25. Who is the bishop of your soul?
Jesus.
That means he's in charge. Are you getting this? 1 Peter 4:19. So, your soul is bought. Your spiritual being, your spiritual life is bought. Is purified. Yet, they are lost that war against. Is that not exactly what Paul was saying? That they are contrary to what is there. That they are contrary to that uncontaminable, unaffected eternally soul that you have in Christ. So what is he talking about? This lost war against your identity. Is that what it means? Is that what it means? The war against your identity. So watch this. Against the soul. Having, verse 12, your conversation. Hallelujah. You know two things he says? He says, abstain. Don't have this. Apeko. Then he says, have this. So, it's exactly what Paul says, walk in the spirit, don't walk in the flesh. So, he uses the word conversation. Conversation is the word anastrophe. Anastrophe in the Greek is used for a manner of life. A-N-A-S-T-R-O-P-H-E. Anastrophe. Manner of life. Let's run through it quickly. Galatians 1:13. Manner of life. Ephesians 4:22. Manner of life. 1 Timothy 4:12. Be an example of a believer in conversation. Hebrews 13:17. Whose conversation? Every time you see the word anastrophe, it is something others will receive from. Something others will experience. That's why spiritual growth is your conduct amongst people. That's why it doesn't stop. Does it make sense? He calls it in your anastrophe, your manner of life. James 3:13. I want to look at 1 Peter 1:15. But be ye holy in all manner of what? Anastrophe. Conversation. Verse 18. As much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation by tradition from your fathers. 2 Peter 2:7. 2 Peter 3:11. Okay, one more. 1 Peter 3:1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. If any obey not the word, they also may be without the word, be won by the conversation. That is the conversation of the wives. That is your conduct towards your husband. So anastrophe is your behavior. The way you now practice the faith. Your conversation, chapter 3 again, verse 2. While they behold your chaste conversation. An unbeliever now, he will behold your chaste conversation. Coupled with fear. Chapter 3, verse 16. I love this one. Let's read it on. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, that they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation. That is, he says, they will have to lie because your conversation is good. Hallelujah. Now, what is he teaching here? Spiritual growth. Does he have an end? So, your conversation, which is godly, has to keep increasing. Has to keep increasing. For everybody you relate with, you are growing with them. For everybody you, for every place you dwell, you are growing there. Are you following what I'm saying here? So don't relate spiritual growth to baby. He's now growing. It's your conduct. Are you learning something? Watch this. So it says your conversation. Get back to 1 Peter 2. Honest amongst who? Amongst who? Amongst the unsaved. So spiritual growth is our conduct amongst men. So spiritual growth is discernible. Are we right? It's not the volume of hours you spend pouring upon scriptures, even though that helps your spiritual growth. It is now your manner of life. Your manner of life amongst people. So as I close, look at the key words he uses. We'll take it up from next week. He says, whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Hallelujah. So what are the things he says we can do? Submit. Hallelujah. Eh? Ha! The first word in growth is submit. I thought the first thing he would say is take authority. Possess the company. He says submit.
almost opposite of what you will know yourselves to every ordinance of man, for the Lord said, whether it be to the king or supreme. Verse 16. As free, but not using liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. Let's take 17 together. Honor all. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Servants, begin to dream of you taking over the company. Nope. That employee, subject to your masters with all fear. Not only to the good and gentle, the nice employers, but also to the forward. I believe when we do this, is or we just leave spiritual growth. I don't want. This is, let Christ be seen. The one you are born like and you are born after. Are you there? For this is thanks what is it? The man have conscience toward God, endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you are buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? For if when you do well and suffer for it, take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. For even thereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us what? An example, that we should follow his footsteps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, he committed himself to him that judges righteously. We now live 24. We love 24. We don't like 22 and 21. Please don't say, boss, is the Lombardy and the tree, that we being dead to sins, you live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were sheep going astray, but has now returned to the shepherd, hallelujah, and bishop of this. What's the next word? Likewise. Hallelujah. Just like Jesus. You wives. Hallelujah. Just like Jesus. So you can see, it's the manifestation of the Christ life. Because we were born in his resurrection. Just like Jesus. Are you there? Be in subjection. Glory to God. Are you there? So growth is an eternal endeavor. Is that clear? Is there anything here that you will not do for the rest of your life? None. I'll keep growing. I'll keep growing. Nothing changes. As long as my human interaction exists, my growth continues. But my supernatural dispositions to all my interaction will keep increasing, abounding, and influencing all men by the power of God. Hallelujah. We'll continue next week. Talking tongues. Give God praise. Bless his name.